Jesus. This is where we get our help. This is where we get our change. And this ought to be, it might not be, but it ought to be the highlight of your week. The Word of God. You know, the worship won't change you. Praise God. It'll help you and it'll bless you. But the Word of God will trump the worship. Praise the Lord. And the fellowship's good, but the Word's better. Praise God. So this is where we get our help. But let's pray before we get in the Word and make sure that what He wants said is said this morning and that we get exactly what we need. Father, we're just honored to be here in Your presence, Lord. You're the vine. We're branches. Apart from You, we can do nothing. So Lord, as I minister this morning, I pray and ask You that I would speak as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Father, that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost, that You'd make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer, Father, speaking words in season. Father, hitting bullseyes in people's hearts for exactly where they're at and what they need, Father. Only You can take a room full of people with different needs and different concerns and different questions and different circumstances and have it come through one voice yet hit so many hearts, Father. It's because You're wonderful. You're supernatural. We praise You for that. So, Father, we expect right now to hear from heaven. Father, we expect right now to go from glory to glory. We expect that we will be changed more today into the image of Your Son. And we'll give You the praise for it and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, 1 Samuel 2 in verse 30. Let's go there real quick. Hallelujah. It says, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel has said, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed," or lightly respected, or lightly regarded. So the Lord says the honor of God in our life depends on what we do with Him, right? And how we honor Him. And we know that there's many things that when it comes to God, it's not just talking about the being that sits on the throne. There's many attributes of God, isn't there? And we've been looking at a series on honor. If you're just starting out with us today, we do have live stream on our website. We have archives. And I think this is the fourth or fifth week we've been preaching on honor. I've never shared about honor before. And this is going to wrap up the series. But we see in the last few weeks, it matters that we're honorable. In Mark chapter 6, we won't go there, but Jesus was in His own hometown and He said, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own hometown among his own kin. Remember what they didn't have honor for Him, and it says, and He could there do no mighty work. He couldn't do a mighty work there. Isn't that amazing? Jesus Christ couldn't do whatever He wanted to do, and it depended on the people's honor, right? So honor matters. So we're learning about honor, but we're learning about honor towards the local church, because that's where we're going to spend a lot of our days, a lot of our time. And we've been looking at things, how we ought to show up for a service, how we ought to have expectations, how we ought to behave in the house of God. We don't just show up with a ho-hum attitude. There ain't time for that. It's the last days. We need to show up with faith and expectancy, hunger, ready to receive from God, bringing a supply, right? A supply of what? Worship, a supply of faith, a supply in the Spirit. So hallelujah. So today we're going to finish this series. And I do have a few disclaimers before we get into this message today. Praise God. Number one, if you're brand new here with us, it's important that you know that my heart as a pastor is to only preach the Bible. That's the only thing that's going to help people. And there's things in the Bible that can challenge us, that can step on our toes and things like that. But what I'm going to share about today, the only other time I've ever made mention of it was about 3 or 4 weeks ago, alluding to the series that we were about to share. Now, we've had people that have been with us for the full 4 years here in South Dayton. And if you wonder at the end of the service, now you're going to see everything that I preach is the Bible. You're going to see that there's a lot of Bible on this. But I encourage you at the end of service, find out, you know, Pastor, if you need to, who's someone that's been here, and ask them, has he ever shared on this before? And their answer would be no, he's never preached a sermon on this before. And you'll see why today, I'll explain some things about the Lord getting on my case a little bit and correcting me. But if you're new here today, this is just Bible, and praise God, we're just going to preach the Word this morning is what I'm trying to say. And also, I want to share why the Lord has me to share this message. You know, honor is something that is so important to God. We see that it caused people to not receive. We see that, you know, unfortunately in our culture, in our country, honor has gone out the window. It really has. Call me old school, but I just want to be a very honorable person. And we see it's important, the honor of God on our lives and things like that. And there's different aspects of honor. But about 2 years ago, the Lord started dealing with me to share honor about the local church and honor towards the things of God. Well, I knew you can't talk about honor without talking about honoring the minister, honoring the one that's sowing the word of God. You can't. You'll see that in the word today. And because of that, it caused me to not share anything about honor at all. For the purpose of not wanting to look self-serving, right? But I was in a tree stand on November 1st, Saturday, in Sugar Grove, Pennsylvania. It was about 8:30 in the morning. And the Lord, in my spirit, it came up, are you ashamed of my word? And I thought it was just a funny thing, funny question, or something that I just thought up on my own. And I said, no. I said, I told you when you saved my life and called me to preach that I'd preach it from the front page to the back page. And that I'm not ashamed. You know, I quoted Romans 1 and 16, says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, right? And I said, I'm not ashamed, Lord, I'll preach it all. And in my spirit, he said, then why don't you? And then all of a sudden, verses started coming up in my heart, share this. He said, you've never talked about that. And I repented, and I knew for 2 years he wanted me to. And the Lord said, went on to tell me some things that I'll keep between myself and not share too many details on. But basically how my life and my family would suffer if I wouldn't be obedient, but how people in the house of God, you see, nobody else is going to come in and teach this stuff. The sinner on the street's not going to tell you about this stuff. And what you're going to see today is a principle. And the main motivation that I have, besides staying in obedience with God, the main motivation I have is to see you blessed from this principle. That's it. That's my main motivation. And I believe by not sharing it for 4 years, it proves that. That I'm not in it for any other reason than that. And so some of you are probably wondering, what is he going to talk about? Woo, get to it, Pastor. But it's clear in the Word of God what we're going to share today. It's not some outlying passages. It's over and over again. And we're going to see some things. And I'm going to preach it because I've seen people with a lack of understanding concerning this topic that we're going to talk about. I've seen them get hurt. I've seen people that don't have a revelation on it leave their place of supply because of offense towards things. I've seen it. And I'll maybe get into some of those things. But what are we talking about today? We'll go to Proverbs 3 and verse 9. I'm going to show you this. Now maybe after I share this, share these two verses, maybe there'll be in the church. You know, it's like somebody that says, you know, it's like you say you got a little sweet old little grandma, but you know you got stuff on her that she's been stealing and doing wrong things, right? And you mention that, and everybody at first is like, no way. You say, no, let me get to the evidence, right, and show you here. It's the same thing in the Word when we show you some of these things. Because you might think, how? And it's not the easiest thing for me to share on, which why I haven't for so long. But we're going to show you the evidence here today. And it says this in Proverbs 3 and verse 9. Honor. Do you see that there?
Yeah.
Honor the Lord with. I love when verses are like that because I like to be very practical. I like things to be laid out for me. I like to know what I can do to please Him. The Bible says, lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Woohoo, I know how to bless my Father. The Bible says, to give Him a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of my lips. Woohoo, I know how to bless my Father. I told you this before. If He said to do cartwheels down the aisle picking my nose, that would bless Him. Guess what Pastor Mike would be trying to do? Cartwheels down the aisle while picking his nose. I just like to know what he says. And it says, honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of your increase. What's that talking about? Your material gain, your increase, your wealth. Honor the Lord with that. Now, okay, well, that's great. We bring our tithes and offerings. But see, there's a principle in the Word of God, and I'm thankful that it's not just the pastoral office, you're going to see the Word, that it's anybody that stands in the place of sowing the Word, that labors or works in the full-time ministry, teaching and preaching the Word. There's a principle that if we'll get a hold of and let the Lord lead us in some things, we'll walk into blessings that we've never walked into before.
Amen.
I know because I have before, and I've seen people walk into some amazing things. And so we see that the Bible says financially we can honor by finances. Do you see that in the Word?
Yeah.
Well, let's go to John 13 and verse 20. Now, here comes the gasp. Here comes the oh my goodness. Just buckle up, throw away the key, and don't leave till it's over. Praise God. You know, if you'd have stopped watching The Wizard of Oz, halfway through, you'd have thought the wizard was a big old mean guy. You'd have still been scared of that old Wizard of Oz, right? But you stayed put, and you got brave, and popped some more popcorn, and stayed put, and saw that he was nothing. Praise God. Well, look what Jesus said. Now, Jesus said this in John 13 and verse 20. Remember, honor the Lord with. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receives whomsoever I send receives me. Do you see that there? The Lord is likening the ones that he sends to people as if it's himself coming to them. Do you see that there? Well, then let's real quick go to Ephesians 4 and verse 11, and then we're going to dive in and get going. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. And we are just going to preach this. We're going to give the devil a black eye. We're not going to get offended. We're going to be Word of God people that see it's the Bible. And remember, the Bible is your safety net. How do you know I'm not trying to be manipulated? How do you know that I'm not trying to be coerced? Well, the Word of God, if it's Bible, you can fall comfortably on that safety net. No, I'm okay. It's safe to be here. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you this, I'll just make this statement. If this was something I preached every single week, if this was something I made a point to preach 5-6 series about every year, I might start taking a little notice if I was in the congregation. Amen. I'm serious. There's things you can preach to be self-serving. Absolutely. But we're not doing that here. This is the first time ever. Ephesians 4 and verse 11, it says, and he gave some apostles. Now remember, in verse 8, he said he gave these gifts to people. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. What are those things? Those are the fivefold ministry offices. Full-time ministry, called by God, set apart by God to preach and teach the word. So this is not just the pastoral office. This is a principle that you're going to see that talks about anybody that stands in this office that sows and teaches the Word of God. Hallelujah. Now we're going to see, what am I talking about? Let's just be blunt with this. The Bible talks about, and you'll see today, a blessing in that, number one, that it's right to financially honor people that preach and teach the Word. But secondly, you're going to see the blessing that you have by participating in that. And see, where I feel brokenhearted and feel like an idiot is I've withheld that blessing from people for the fear of being self-serving. Well, if you don't trust me and if you feel I'm self-serving, this probably isn't the church for you. Amen? And so we'll just see who comes back and sticks around next week and doesn't think we're doing this for a reason. We're just going to preach and teach the Word. But I believe after you see the Word today, it's going to be so clear to you. And you're maybe going to be like, I never knew that was in there. How did I not know? It's all over the place, because it is. And let me just say this before we get going. More disclaimers. I don't expect anything from anybody. I mean that. I've never asked for anything, never expected anything from anybody, never treated anyone better or worse regarding what they've given to me or haven't given to me. Even playing field. I'm grateful for everything that's been done. And I'm excited about when people do things, not for my account, but for your account. And I'm going to show you that in the Word. But I believe in my heart, it'd be a good place to start to kind of just set the tone of this series or this message today in Philippians 4 and verse 10. Praise God. Philippians 4 and verse 10. You might be thinking, wow, he's up there telling me that it would benefit me and it's a right thing that I sow financially into him. I'm not telling you to sow anything into me. I'm going to simply show you the Word of God, show you some examples, and then you do with it. You follow your own heart. You follow your own leadings. There's no pressure to do anything. My goodness. Ever, ever, ever. But I have a job to preach the Word of God, and I'm going to. So let's see this in the Word, and let's get excited about the Bible this morning. Paul said this in Philippians 4 and verse 10. He said, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Now, this is a minister talking to a church in Philippian, the Philippian church here. I rejoice greatly that you're now at last your care of me has flourished again. What's he talking about? A church taking care of his needs. He says, I rejoice greatly. He says, wherein you were careful, but you lacked opportunity. Now notice this. He says, not that I speak in respect of what I want, For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. He's saying, I'm not speaking this to you because I want something. And I'm telling you here right now, let me just say this to you. Your pastor is blessed. I am not going to try to stand up here and sing a sad song to you to try to get you to give to me. Your pastor is blessed. All my needs are met all the time. My children are healthy. My children are blessed. My bills are paid. Praise God, regardless if people give me anything or not. You're not my supply. He is. So I know what Paul's saying. He's saying, not that I speak in respect to what I want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. But look what he says in verse 14. Notwithstanding, or even though you have, now notice this, you have well done, or you did well, that you did communicate. That word communicates a little blind to us in the King James. It means participated or gave to me in my affliction. Oh my gosh, the news programs would have a field day with this verse. Paul stood up and told them, what you've done for me financially, you did a good thing. Isn't that bold? Oh man, we praise him for his boldness. But we say some of that stuff and people look at you sideways like a cow at a new gate. Paul said, you did well in communicating with my affliction or my needs. You did well by supplying my needs. He said, you did a good thing. Verse 15 says, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, notice this, no church, this is sad, communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. He's now bragging on them for doing this, pointing out the importance of it. He says, for even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again, and forgive me for my boldness, I can't help it when I preach. I mean it. Some things I say in the pulpit, I go home, I say, oh my God. I just can't help it. I don't mean to try to be bold. It just comes out. I'm sorry. I don't know how to turn it off and turn it on. It just happens. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again into my necessity. Now notice this, and this is your pastor's heart this morning. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire that fruit may abound to your account. That's a true shepherd's heart. When people give me things, I can stand here before Jesus and say this with all sincerity and honesty of heart. It's not the gift that they give me that excites me. It's the fruit that I know because of partaking in the giving and receiving with the one that's sowing the word, because I know the Bible of what's coming back to them that fires me up. Amen. Excites the heck out of me. I'm serious. Say, oh, that's just your way of getting us to give. Well, you can think that. Or we can just look at the Bible and see what Paul said. He said, I don't desire the gift. You did well and it was a good thing. I don't desire it, but I'm excited for what's going to happen to you. See, he already knew. God's got my needs, man. Praise God. But look at what he says in verse 18. He says, but I have all and abound and am full. They took care of him. Having received of Epaphroditus the things that were sent from you. Now notice this. We know they were things to meet his needs, things to help him. From you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and what? Well-pleasing to God. This church took care of the minister. And again, I'm not talking just about your pastor here. Another reason I want to share is because we're going to have guest ministers in. And as I continue to encourage you to go to guest minister meetings and light that fire under you to get to go, you're going to go to places. And it'll benefit you when the offering comes to be generous to those people. It'll benefit you and pay off. So this is also for when we have people in to take care of them and when we go to places to take care of them. But here he's saying that a church that took care of his natural needs financially, he said God saw that as being well-pleasing. Isn't that amazing? Okay, so that's where we're starting. See, in America especially, I've seen it in my family. I've seen it in attitudes of people. We don't like it, I don't mean us personally, but generally, we don't like it when the minister prospers. It's uncomfortable to us when the minister is prosperous. You ought to want your pastor to be the most blessed person in the church, because what comes down from me, when I'm blessed, the church is blessed. It's just the way it works in the Word. But you see it all the time, doing exposés on 2020 and Dateline NBC, what these ministers have. They don't ever report on how much they've given. They don't ever report on how much good they've done. Just look at their home. Look at the vehicles they drive. I took a man to a service one time that needed healing, and Dr. Dufresne walked down the aisle. Dr. Dufresne had a nice ring, and Dr. Dufresne looked good in a suit, and you knew his shoes were expensive. And this person said to me, "Look at the suit on that preacher. Look at the watch he's wearing." In my spirit, the Holy Ghost said to me loudly, "They will not get their healing. They did not get their healing, and they're still sick today." Yeah. We don't like it when the minister, it's the old saying, "Lord, you keep him humble, we'll keep him poor." That's the way people, most of the people think in the body of Christ. We don't want to see, there's a whole denomination that the ministers take a vow of poverty. Yeah, they vow to be in poverty. And the church is glad about that. Yes, that's what we believe in. That's not the thoughts of God the Father. And it's exciting, I think. You know, I had wrestled with bringing someone else in to teach this stuff, and I felt like that'd be cowardly. I felt like that would be me copping out, you know, that I'm the dad of the church. I'm the one leading this thing. I should just be able to tell you the way it is, and we ought to get on board together. We're a growing church. Let's grow together. Let's grow together, praise God, and let's be able to trust one another. It's just amazing, this mindset. And we want the thoughts of God. We don't want the thoughts of what we think. Well, let's just look at it. Go to 1 Timothy 5 and verse 17. How do I know that this is the mindset? My pastor, I was in a service one time. Now, if you know my pastor, his recreation used to be riding the lawnmower with his suit on. That's pathetic. It's pathetic. But that used to be his enjoyment. He was so kingdom-minded that he hardly had any recreation, hardly had any joy, any fun in his life. And I saw a prophet of God stand up in a service one time, hear that from heaven, because the Lord, and my pastor tells me now later, that God had been dealing with him about, listen, lighten up and have some fun in life. And, you know, you can get in the ditch on a lot of things. You can become so spiritual you're no earthly good, right? And you can become so earthly you're no spiritual good. There's a balance. And I saw, I was in the service, when a prophet of God said, the Lord told me, didn't even know that my pastor would enjoy this, but the Lord told him, your pastor would enjoy having a motorcycle. And I think we ought to buy him one. Yeah. Stood up there and said that in front of the church. Didn't say that the church, it should come from the church's money. Didn't say that people had to give. Said, this is what the Lord put on my heart. I'm going to give something towards it. Pastor Michael knew nothing about it, had nothing to do with it. And a lot of people in that church were excited. Oh my gosh, we have something we can do for our pastor that he would enjoy. And do you know that some people that had been in that church for years, who are blessed financially, have lots of stuff themselves, left and got mad because the pastor got a Harley Davidson? Are you kidding me? A piece of metal with two rubber wheels left their supply because their man of God is told by God through the prophet, no one was coerced to give anything. Nobody came to me and said, you need to give towards that. They said, if you want to give, do this. And a lot of people got excited. But I saw people leave the church for good and still haven't come back because of a motorcycle that the pastor had nothing to do with. I remember working, I was actually working out in the grapes, and someone came along, and one part of the family or part of the church, just outside people come in and said, yeah, we heard that church bought that pastor a motorcycle. I can't believe they'd spend that money. That church didn't spend a dime on that motorcycle. What are you talking about? It wasn't asked for the church to spend it. Didn't have a clue. People getting so mad. Oh, the pastor drives a nice car. That's terrible. What? Well, let's see what the Bible says about these things. If the Bible says let's keep them poor, let's keep them poor. Right? I know I'm getting bold again. I can't help it. Well, here we go. Anyways, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 17. Look at this. Let the elders that rule well, the elders, in context, talking about the ministers that preach, and you're going to see that rule well, be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. The ones whose labor or job is to preach the word, the Bible says, they ought to be counted worthy of double honor. You say, well, what does that mean? Double respect? No, it's talking about financial, because if you study the context, it says the ox that treads out the corn, you shouldn't muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. Basically saying, when the ox is out there treading out the corn, don't put a muzzle on his mouth and don't let him eat that. That's not fair. He should be able to partake of what he's causing to do. The same way it's talking about when the minister, and you're going to see this more in the Bible today, when the minister preaches to the people and the people become blessed, it's a right thing for the minister to partake in their blessings. It's true. It's true. I'm going to read you what it says in the Amplified. Let the elders who perform the duties of their office well be considered double worthy of honor and of adequate financial support, especially those who labor faithfully in preaching and teaching. The Message Bible says, give a bonus to leaders who do a good job, especially the ones who work hard at preaching and teaching. So God's mindset, remember, the Word of God is not man ideas. The Word of God is God's thoughts. God says the ones that labor in the Word and doctrine, the pastors, the traveling ministers, that's their life, they're worthy of double pay. Isn't that amazing? Oh, God, no. We don't like that in our flesh, and we don't think that should be the way, but that's how God views it. Amen. Go to 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 11. Again, we're just showing it to you. We'll get to your exciting part at the end of your blessing. Again, this is just a principle in the Bible I'm going to show you. You do with it what you want. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do you understand? This will help you too to lighten the load a little bit. You understand that I'm a sheep too in a different church. Pastor Michael's my shepherd. I go to guest minister meetings. I know this principle. I have a responsibility to do something with it. This isn't me standing up from a pedestal pointing the finger at you. I have to be a part of this as well. Praise God. And I am. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 9 in verse 11, he says, if we, the minister Paul, have sown unto you spiritual things. I love this. He's so stinking bold. He didn't give a rip if you liked him or didn't like him. He didn't give a rip if he thought you'd get offended. You see, truth doesn't need to be debated. This will help you. When I was just recently talking to someone about this. When you're witnessing, all you've got to do is tell them the gospel. You don't have to get in a debate with them. You don't have to try to come up with fancy ways to share it. You have what they need. You have the truth. And Paul's just saying, I got the truth. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. The truth doesn't change. He says, if we've sown unto you spiritual things, here's the boldness, is it really a great thing if we reap your carnal things? Wow. He says, is it really that big of a deal that what I'm giving to you, is it really that big of a deal that you give back to me financially? Because, see, the problem is people have put financial things on the same level as spiritual things, and they don't compare. He's saying, what I've given to you would be in no comparison to what you could give to me. So therefore, it's not that great of a thing for you to turn around financially and sow back. That's the minister of God saying that. Oh my gosh, Paul. I can't wait to meet that guy in heaven. Where did you get your boldness from? I just did a great thing. Imagine he's writing this letter to a whole church. You know there were people that read that and said, I ain't going back there, self-serving minister. And they walked away from their blessing. Paul said, now look what it says in the New International Version. If we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much we reap a material harvest from you? Amplified says, if we have sown the seed of spiritual good among you, is it too much that we reap from your material benefits? Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, Pastor, do you do this? You betcha I do this. You see, I'm not stupid enough to think that what I have in my life, my family, the churches, my health, the favor on my life, the blessings, I'm not stupid enough to think that I brought that into my life myself. I'm not dumb enough to even start to even think that that's because of me. I know it's because of a man and women that travel around, mainly my pastor, who has sown unto me for years the way to go, what to do. Crisis come up, and I call him, and he gives me words that just grace and mercy at the time. And ministers come in, and I'm going through something, and they speak something, and it charts me on a different course for my life. I'm not even foolish enough to think that I'm blessed because of my doing. I know it's from other people's work, other people's labor, praise God. Hallelujah. And so I take part in this, praise God, with my pastor. I take part in this with, and I'll get to more of this maybe down the road when it comes to the blessings. Now quickly go with me to Galatians 6 and verse 6. There's two places now in 1 Timothy 5 and 1 Corinthians 9 that talk about the minister being blessed financially from the people. Hallelujah. Galatians 6 and verse 6. And if you never gave me anything, but you blessed the guest ministers, great. I'm just happy that you start doing something. My goodness. I'm not looking for a penny. And I can say that with the clearest conscience. I've already dealt with this in the back room of God. Hallelujah. But look at what it says here in Galatians 6 and verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all things, and all good things. Now see, again, we look at that. What's that word communicate mean? Well, let's look at it, and if you look at it in the Hebrew, you'd know, or the Greek, but let's look at it in a more modern translation, the Amplified. Let him who receives instruction, can we pull up the Amplified? Do we have Amplified back there? I can't remember if we put it on the computer. If we do, if you could just pull it up. If we don't know, biggie. But it says, let him who receives instruction in the word of God share all good things with his teacher, contributing to his support. The Message Bible says, be very sure now, you who have been trained to a self-sufficient maturity, that you enter into a generous common life with those who have trained you, sharing all the good things that you have and experience. Now see, where we're safe in this is knowing these are God's thoughts. And see, while I'm excited to get to the benefits at the end, is because when we do God's thoughts and do God's words, it always brings us a blessing. But and you'll see the blessing that that'll bring you, praise God. So this verse says, let him who receives instruction. Now, are you ready for Paul to be bold again? Yeah. He just gets done saying, now he knows he's the one that preaches the word to them. And he knows other people do as well. And he says, let him that's taught the word communicate or share the good things that they're getting with the one teaching the word. And look at what the very next verse is. And you can go back to the King James, Heather, in verse 7. He just gets done saying, now make sure you share with those preaching the word. And I love what he says. But be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Oh, ouch. My goodness. He makes me look like Mickey Mouse. When have I ever said, you know what? My birthday's coming up. And you know, I've taught you the word, and I've taught you the word good. This is basically what Paul's saying. I taught you the word. You make sure that you communicate with me. This is a man that did that. I've never done this. You make sure you communicate with me in the good things that you've gotten. But make sure that when you do, remember, God's not mocked. If you sow little, you're going to get little. And he knew it was coming to him. Wow. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that's what he'll reap. Well, what do we need to do then on these things? We need to renew our mind to this. Because I know in the spirit, it's not as bad as I had envisioned. I always blow things up to be worse than they're going to be. But I could sense some bumps in the road, and I can sense a little bit of resistance from people. We just gave you, in Philippians 4, the Lord said that it was a well thing that they did, well-pleasing, an odor, a sweet smell to God. Yes. We saw that. We saw in 1 Timothy chapter 5 that the Bible says the minister ought to be worthy of double pay or double honor. That's God's thoughts. We saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 that God says it's not a great thing that you participate in sowing material things if he's sowing spiritual things. That's three places. And then we just saw in verse 4, he that's taught the word ought to share. That's four places in the Bible. The Bible says out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. I just gave you four. So my point is to you, if this is rocking your world and you can't believe that your pastor would have the audacity to stand up here and preach this, you need to go home and renew your mind and get what God's thoughts on it, and you'll see, okay, I see why he did it. And now you can also see why it took me 4 years to do it. The last thing I want to do is look self-serving. But now let's get to the happy part of the service, where your blessings will come from it. Hallelujah. Mark 14 and verse 3. Mark 14 and verse 3. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now remember, because before you get all religious on me and say, well, duh, he's talking about Jesus. Jesus said to you in John 13, whomsoever I send, receive them as they're me, right? Yeah. So don't get all religious minded and heady here when you see this in Mark 14 and verse 3. I want to show you, well, actually, you know what? This is going to be the fifth witness, and then we'll get to the goodies. But anyways, you're going to see that Jesus also encouraged this person as well, which I would want the encouragement of my Savior. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment and spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. Now here she has, now I'm trying to see here. Okay, there it is. We'll get to that in a second when I'm down there. I'm going to hit it myself. Very precious box of ointment dumps it on Jesus' head. In verse 4, there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? And I'm thinking of the story with my pastor. Because I saw it too when we got together and blessed him with a swimming pool for his family. I had people get downright ticked off and upset that we would do that for him. And they have no idea. Let me just say this to you. You are not here hearing the Word of God unless Pastor Michael Loketic is alive and well. I'm just telling you the truth. Whether you like him or don't like him or however you think about him, without that man's faithfulness, there is no family church. There is no Pastor Mike. There is no Olean church. And so the least we can do is bless his family according to the Word. But people said, what a waste of money. That money could be gone and given to the poor. Lack of honor. Why can't we do both? Why do we have to have a poverty mindset where you give to one and you're lack? Why not? Let's just be able to just give to all. That's my idea. Anyways, there was some that sat indignation. Why was this waste? Why would you waste your money buy him a motorcycle? Well, let's see what God would think about it. For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and given to the poor, and they murmured against her. They're saying, that gift, what a waste. That 300 pence, in a more modern translation, if you study that out, is 1 year's wages. She dumped something on his head that was worth a year's salary. And people sat there and said, what a waste. There's poor people outside our doors. That money could have been sold. Now, let's see what Jesus thinks about it. Maybe Jesus is going to scold her. Say, yeah, it was very stupid of you. You dumped that on my head? You could have gone and sold that, and you could have given it to the poor. What are you thinking, lady? That's what they were saying. Well, let's look. Jesus said in verse 6, leave her alone. Glory. Oh, can you imagine? Jesus telling you that? Oh, man, I'd have to change my underwear. Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has wrought or done a good work for me. Yes, it could have been sold and given to the poor. Yes, Jesus has a heart for the poor. But he didn't say, oh, lady, what'd you do? What was Jesus? He was the minister at that time. There's no doubt you could take the money that was spent on that motorcycle and give it to the poor. Absolutely. The money that was spent on a swimming pool and give it to the poor. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. You could take that money that was dumped on his head that could have been sold. No doubt you could have taken that and done other things with it. But Jesus said, stop it. She did a good thing for me. She did an honorable thing for me. And because of the other four references that we gave you, we know that it's a good thing to do these things. Double honor, material things, praise God. Just want to tell you, she has done a good thing, praise God. Verse 7, for you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good, but you have not me always, praise God. What's he saying? Honor what you have in front of you. Honor what you have in front of you, praise God. 2 Kings 4 and verse 8. A few references and then we'll be done. It's hard for me to be completely forthcoming with a message like this in terms of being an example to you for fear of what I tell you, what I do, to think that you should do the same. And so because of that, I won't tell you the examples of what I do for my pastor. But I will say this, every time he introduces me to somebody, he tells them my name, he pastors two of my churches, and he says, he's one of my most honorable sons that I have. Praise God. I can't tell you how much my wife and I take care of his family. And I won't go into details for the fear of thinking that you're pressured to do the same stuff, because I don't want that. If God's going to deal with you on it, you be just obedient to God. I don't want to lead you and be a magnet on your giving compass to try to force you into something. But man, I'll tell you what, I have my house because of a seed that I sowed to him. That's all I'll say. I know I do. The Lord told me specifically to do something, and it was the biggest personal offering that I ever given to someone. And it rattled my mind, and I gave it, and my house came miraculously. And the Lord said, remember that seed you sowed naturally? And I knew it was. And we all the time are seeing blessings. All the time. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell the story. Vinny gave me permission to do this. Vinny, I tell you, God's doing a great work in these two, praise the Lord, and doing a great work in Vinny's life. He'd come back, you know, to church and come back and give his life to God and get serious about God. Was it the first night you were back on a midweek service? Or it was close. I mean, it was early on. And he walks up to me and hands me a $100 bill. Again, you don't have, Lord put that on his heart. And all, that was all the money you had, wasn't it? I think you said you gave a few dollars in the offering and gave me, and I've asked permission, I'm not embarrassing him on the spot here. And I'll tell you what, the $100 is cool, yay, $100. But I was so fired up. And I even told him, I said, oh, the Lord's going to bless you for this. The Lord's going to bless you for this, because I know the word. And I'm going to tell you the word in a second on it. Well, he went out, and I can't tell you all the whole story, but had a miracle happen with a truck that should have been sold hours before that day. And if you want to know the story, ask him. I'm the worst storyteller in the world. But you bought it for what, $500? Went out that night and made a deal with a guy, bought a truck for $500, and turned around and sold it for $2,500. A $2,000 harvest on a $100 seed. You say, oh, just coincidence. No, talk to him about it. Because I asked him when he was telling me a story, I said, and I want to lead you. I said, but do you know that they were connected? He said, absolutely. Absolutely, I know they were connected. I'd have never got that truck. And I could tell you story after story of sowing seeds into people. I told you about the seed that that God told me to sow to Pastor Nancy Dufresne, someone who's sown into my life. And it was a seed that was that again, rattled the mind, right? And I put it off and put it off, and 6 months went by. And in the summer, the Lord said, why haven't you sown that seed to her? I said, fine, I got that check and wrote it out, put it in an envelope, and after service, said, just here you go. 2 weeks later, I got a check for the exact amount doubled. So that's coincidence. No, it's not. No, it's not. Well, let's show you what the Word says. Praise God. Oh, I'm excited about the Word. I'm excited about my people and my church prospering. That's what I'm excited about. Glory to God. I don't need your stuff. Let me try to get that through your head. I'm blessed. I'm not a charity case. I'm prosperous. All my needs are met. I'm living happy. I want you blessed. 2 Kings 4, and verse 8. Let's see what happens when people partake in this. I had a situation where the Lord clearly showed me, and I'll never, ever, except to her, tell this situation in detail. Where God put something on somebody's heart to do for us. I knew that God put this on their heart to do. And they got in fear over the price. They got in fear over what they would have to do, and they would cause them to be set back a little bit. And they didn't end up doing it. And the Lord showed me some things that it cost them. And you say, Pastor, I'm saying things that God told them to do. That they came back and even talked to me about. That, oh, this is what, you know, follow the Spirit of God is what I'm trying to say. Amen? Amen. Don't get religious and mad at me here. 2 Kings 4 and verse 8, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed a Shunem. I was just there last week. Where, that was a lot funnier than what you guys gave me credit for. Elisha passed a Shunem. It's a really nice place. Where there was a great woman. Do you see that there?
Yeah.
What does the Bible call her? Great. Eternally recorded as a great woman. Wow. Maybe that doesn't mean anything to you, but I would love for God to look at me and Pastor Mike and say, that's a great man.
Amen.
To me, that means more. To have the respect and approval of my father, That's where it's at to me. But anyways, it fell on that day that Elisha passed to Shunem. There was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. Oh, I love it. She was like, please come, let me feed you. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat bread. I'll tell you, that's a blessing in and of itself, isn't it?
Yeah.
Every time he's through there, she's saying, please, I got food for you. I'll provide for you. Elisha was the minister, wasn't he? He was the prophet of God. And look what she says in verse 8. Oh, this is honor right here. And she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God. What was she saying? He's not normal. Remember we talked about last week? You don't want your pastor to be like you. Do you want your doctor to know what you know? Do you want your dentist to be like you? I don't. I don't want my mechanic to be like me. Right? I don't want the chef at the restaurant. You don't want the chef at the restaurant to be like you. And she had an honor. That's why Jesus said he wept because they didn't realize the day of their visitation. They had the Son of God in their midst and they didn't even know it. Lack of honor. He's just the carpenter. Just this dude. But she had honor and a revelation that he is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. What's she saying? Mealtime's not enough for him. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on a wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he comes to us that he shall turn in there. What is she saying? Let's make an addition on our home and let's furnish it for him. Who here knows in construction what that would cost nowadays? Throw out some numbers. 10,000, 15,000? More? 20? I don't know. To put an addition for someone to come and furnish it? I don't know what it would be. I know it wouldn't be cheap. And she says, I perceive he's a holy man of God. Let's do something for him. Wow. But that's not my point. My point is to tell you the blessing. Now notice this. And so they did that. And it fell on a day. Let us make a little chamber on the wall. Let us set him there, bed, table, stool, candlestick. And it shall be when he comes to us, he shall turn in there. And it fell on a day that he came there. And he turned into the chamber and laid there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite woman. And when he had called her, she stood before him. Now you're about to see something that is absolutely amazing here. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, you have been careful with us for all this care. What is it you want done for you now? Would you like to be spoken to for the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, no, I dwell among my own people. And he said, what is then to be done to her? See, heaven required a payback for such a wonderful gift given to the man of God, because the man of God is just like God himself. And God said, the gift you gave him was like a gift you gave me, and I have to do something for you. And she said, and he said, I don't know what to do for her. And Gehazi answered and said, verily, she has no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door, and he said, about this season, according to the time of life, you will embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, you man of God, do not lie unto the handmaid. It was something so precious to her. Wanted a baby so bad. And now the minister's saying, you're going to have a baby. He's saying, no, don't tell me that. It's not true. And the woman conceived in verse 17 and bore a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Now let me ask you this. Why did she get the greatest miracle ever in her life? Because of something she did financially for a minister. Is that true or is that manipulation? That's true. That baby, praise God, Elisha never says to Gehazi, what can we do for her, until she goes to great lengths to do something for him and she gets the greatest miracle of her life. Praise God. She obeyed. Hallelujah. I know. 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17. We're almost done. Again, what are you trying to tell us, Pastor Mike? Just obey God.
Amen.
Obey your heart. That's all. I'm not going to be there with my hand out looking for handouts or expecting anything. Never. Never. But now at least I can take my hat off and hang it on the shelf and rest easy at night knowing I shared the Bible. I got this off me. Praise God. Been for 2 years. I'll tell you what, this just feels good today.
Amen.
Oh, God, Lord, should I say that's not that? Come on. No, I don't know if. No, this isn't bold. I'm wondering if this is appropriate. Why not? You know how you feel after you have a good session on the throne and you just feel relief? That's what I feel like right now. I feel like I'm walking out of that room like, oh, I got a hop in my step. Because this has been on me, weighing on me for 2 years. And I've been in guest minister meetings when they talk about this stuff. A lot of guest ministers will talk about the honor towards the pastoral office because they know what it does for the people. And a lot of our people have not gone to these things. That's why I'm encouraging you. You need to go and hear all these wonderful things they're sharing. And so they'll say that. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, my people know nothing about this stuff. They don't know anything about blessing the minister and blessing those that come in and taking care of things like that. And it's been weighted on me for 2 years. Strong weight on me. And today it's like, flush it down the toilet. It's out. Praise God. Feeling so good right now. Oh, I feel lighter. Feel lighter. Praise the Lord. Anyway, see, are you glad I shared that? 1 Kings 17 and verse 8. We'll close with this. And the word of the Lord came unto him. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. Notice that. The Lord likes seeing people take care of his people. Hallelujah. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he said to her, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in your hand. Now she tells him her dire circumstances. She said, as the Lord lives, I don't have a cake. I only have a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks. That I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. So she didn't have very much she could give, did she? She was very limited in her natural wealth. Go to the next verse, Heather, verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, poor thing. Poor, poor thing. No. Elijah said to her, go and do as you've said, but make one for me first. Isn't that amazing? Boldness. To a woman, because he knew, see, one of the things that makes me so free to share this is I know that people that will participate, you will see increase and you will come back to me and you'll say, it works. Somebody gave me a $20 bill last week and I got a text like a day or two later and said, someone already gave me a 20 back. I just laughed. I know that's how it works. It's amazing how it works. There's some, like Paul said, don't church communicate with giving and receiving. There's some sort of supernatural thing that when it leaves your hand, goes into the hands of the minister, whoever it may be, that some supernatural potion or magic gets put on it, and something big happens. Babies show up.
Right.
No. She'll pass. She'll pass on the baby one. It's something you want. Anyways, what I'm trying to say. But make me a cake first, bring it unto me, and after make one for thy son. Whoops, verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. Oh, yes, Father. Oh, glory to God. More revelation. I'll share it in a second. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail. How did she walk into prosperity? Sowing to the minister. Didn't happen from being a good person. Didn't happen from being a sweet, loving widow woman and a loving mom. It happened when she sowed. See, her prosperity miracle came after she did that. And that situation I was telling you about, the Lord said, that's what that situation was all about. I was trying to get them to do that, and what I was trying to get them to do, it scared the heck out of them so much, and it boggled their mind, and they thought, how can I do this for them? But they didn't see on the other side of that, just like naturally, she couldn't see at first, how giving the man of God this food would lead to her being prosperous for all the days of her life. And those, in that situation that the Lord was dealing with those people, and what I didn't even desire the gift. Didn't even want what the gift was. Didn't even want it. They have no use for it. Don't want it. Doesn't interest me. But I knew it would have been a sacrifice. And had they have done it, the prosperity that they would have walked into. And they didn't. I know, quiet, isn't it? Now, what would have been manipulating if I'd have called them out, told the names, told exactly what it was? That's not what my heart is to do here. I'm just trying to show you that this woman walked into some great things. Why? She obeyed the word of God. Amen. When God tells you to do something, or if you purpose it on your heart to do it, stop looking at the fear of the doing it and start thinking about what's on the other side of that. Amen. I am telling you as your pastor, I would not have my house had I not obeyed the seed that God told me to sow. Now, I didn't think up that seed on my own. You don't need God to tell you to do something. We purpose in our hearts certain times to do certain things. We just do. But God speaks to me about doing things too, to sowing into people's lives, and we obey it every time. And oh, the return we get. Why? It's just like them. If that widow woman's going to get a return, and that great woman, that Shunammite woman, gets a return, I can get a return as well. Praise God. And we'll close with Philippians 4:17. We looked at it earlier. I'm just going to read it, and we're going to close. Philippians 4 and verse 17. Now again, if you're here today for the first time or newer with us, this has never been preached from this pulpit. Praise the Lord. But it has now. Oh, it feels good to obey Him. Oh man, I feel so much better. Whew, praise God. And you need to be left with this thought about your pastor. Verse 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. If you so choose to participate in this and to do this with me, with anybody else that's a minister, or when God speaks to you and you obey that, I don't desire what's coming out of your hand to me or what you give for me. I'm excited about the gift that will come into your life. And it will. Praise God. Well, we're done. Woohoo! Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Good job. Praise God. Let's pray. I'm kidding, by the way. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We praise you today. We thank you, Lord. This is a principle in the Word. We just want to be doers of the Word. We want to have our thoughts aligned with you, Father God. Father, we're not trying to be self-serving. We're not trying to be manipulative. But Lord, I want to see people blessed. And if you're dealing with people and doing, I want them just to obey because of what they're going to receive, Father. Lord, you and I know, both know, they're not my supply. Father, they're not the traveling minister's supply. Father, we just bless you. We magnify you. We honor you today. We glorify you today, Father. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness and your kindness and your love. Father, we thank you for wanting to take us into more. Both of those blessings, Father, there was more on the other side of what they just, to being diligent and to being obedient with that gift. Father, help us to be, I'm talking about myself, my family, Father, to be obedient, to be honorable to those people that are worthy to receive double honor, Father. And Lord, I know you'll bless me for doing so. And we love you today. We praise you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, please. Ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? If your answer isn't a 100% yes, that means you need Jesus. And it's simple. The Bible says if you call on His name, you'll be saved. So nobody's looking around. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're not going to be embarrassed. You're not going to have to come to the front. You're not going to have to say anything on your own. Everybody's eyes are closed. Everybody's heads are bowed. If you want to receive Jesus, and let me tell you what, Jesus is wonderful. There's nothing that would be any reason why you wouldn't want to if you really knew who He was. If you want to receive Jesus with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just lift your hand in the air and then put it right back down? Anybody at all? I see that hand. You can put it down. Praise God. Anybody else want to receive Jesus here this morning? I don't know everybody personally. Anybody else that wants to receive Jesus, just put your hand in the air. If you already raised it, you don't have to. Father, we had a hand today. Praise God. Father, we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for what you want to do in this person's life. Father, may this be a new beginning in their life, Lord. We give you the glory and the praise. Now, if you raised your hand, again, I won't embarrass you. I'm not going to have you say anything. But the Bible says you need to call on His name. You need to make an acknowledgement that you believe. Well, you're not going to have to do that on your own. We're going to all pray a prayer together. And if you believe Jesus died and rose again, you jump in on this prayer with us and mean this with all your heart. So if you raised your hand here this morning, go ahead and say this with the whole church. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before you rush out of here, let me say a few things. It's almost 11:30. It's a little later than I like to go. That person raised your hand. The next step for you now is to get into a Bible teaching church. Amen? Into a place that will teach you the Word of God and a pastor. I mean, God has such wonderful things in store for you. Also, how amazing is it that someone can get born again talking about what we talked about? Why? It's because the Word was preached. But don't forget, Wednesday night, 6:30, we're going to be here preaching the Word. It's an appointment with God. If you can be here and be blessed. Amen. Have an awesome rest of the weekend. You are dismissed. When you see the road ahead that you've been down before, when you're halfway to nowhere and you can't pay the toll.